when I did my first supply chain class at Whitman, it really just opened my eyes. And it was kind of a battle with my family, as I do come from a Nigerian family. So you can really only be a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer, and that's it. But I fought my way through, and Syracuse really helped them, like my family, see that supply chain is a really amazing career to go into, where you could really just show how invaluable you are to your team.
Welcome to Supply Chain Now, the number one voice of supply chain. Join us as we share critical news, key insights, and real supply chain leadership from across the globe, one conversation at a time.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Scott Luton here with you on Supply Chain Now. Welcome to today's show. Folks, today we're continuing one of my favorite series, absolute favorite series, one that we like to call the Now Generation, where we sit down with students and professional educators from some of the leading colleges and universities around the world. And check this out. Here in 2026, we're delighted to partner with the one and only Dr. Stephanie Thomas and the WISE organization at the University of Arkansas to power the Now Generation series forward. If you don't know, WISE exists to show students that supply chain is exciting, impactful, and full of opportunity. The initiative creates community, connects students with industry leaders, and helps them build the skills and confidence to launch meaningful careers. Stephanie and the WISE team are doing incredible work, including offering some terrific programming and annual events. You can learn more via the link we're dropping in the program notes below. But folks, today we're going to be featuring an outstanding school for the first time here on Supply Chain Now, Syracuse University, where they tend to say that the future of supply chain is orange. I kind of like that as a Clemson fan, but it's a different shade of orange. But kidding aside, Syracuse is home to a very well-regarded supply chain management program. Gartner and others rank it in their top 25. And here's a fun fact. Just learned it earlier today. Syracuse is home to the oldest supply chain management program in the country. They were teaching supply chain long before it was cool. How cool is that? So get ready, folks, as we continue one of our favorite series here at Supply Chain Now. Now, with that said, I want to introduce our esteemed panel here today. We got a super packed, super powered panel. I'm starting with Dr. Julie Niederhoff, Associate Professor of Supply Chain Management and Department Chair of Marketing, Retail, and Supply Chain Management, all at Syracuse University. Now, Professor Niederhoff teaches both undergraduate and graduate classes and has been nominated twice for the Meredith Teaching Award. Beyond her teaching duties, Professor Niederhoff has developed quite the track record for her research, which has been published in some of the top research journals in the world. Julie, how you doing, my friend?
I'm really excited to be here. I'm doing well. Thank you, Scott.
Well, hey, I admire what you do. It was great to see you for a minute at the WISE event. And you have brought, as I've already seen, I've done my homework, you brought a power panel of students that are certainly making their impact right now already in industry. And I'm starting with Odette Shirk, a graduating senior at Syracuse University's Whitman School of Management, pursuing a Bachelor of Science in Supply Chain Management, Marketing, and environment sustainability and policy, a triple major. Now, Odette has been recognized as a Whitman Scholar due to her top performance in the class of 2026, along with several other awards. And she serves as president of the Franklin Supply Chain Club. Odette, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to today.
Great to meet you here today. And you're joined by three fellow students, starting with Catherine Foley, a junior studying supply chain and retail management at Syracuse University. She is president of the Syracuse Retail Club. And amongst many other things, I'm intrigued by this, she's part of the bass fishing team. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful, wonderful. We'll get you to share your favorite lure maybe with us later in the show. We'll see. Also joining Odette and Catherine and Professor Niederhoff is Michaela Amatuegu, who's also a junior majoring in supply chain management and finance. She's also president of the Women's Network chapter at Syracuse. And while she's abroad right now, she's originally from Long Island, New York, and she's going to be serving as an intern for Micron Technology in the months to come. Michaela, how you doing?
I'm great.
Wonderful to see you here today. And then finally, David Patterson, also a junior majoring in supply chain management. He's active in a variety of clubs. Like that's the common theme here today. When they're not doing big things in supply chain, they are active in clubs and leaderships. positions, you name it. David is involved in the Entrepreneurship Club. And when he, while he loves a great case competition, you can also find David playing sports and musical instruments in his free time. David, how you doing?
Well, I didn't expect to put on snow boots today, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
I hear 10 inches of snow is what's to be expected up in y'all's neck of the woods. But stay warm, stay off the roads. Down here in Georgia, a little bit of rain throws us for a loop, so I couldn't imagine 10 inches of snow. But anyway, great to have you, David, and really the whole team. And Julie, I want to start with you really quick before we get to know the students a little better. Again, I was sharing with you pre-show, I admire what you do. What I'll call it, what's the opposite of extracurricular? Is it intracurricular? Whatever, in the classroom, outside the classroom, evening, weekends, you know, clearly you're really engaged in supporting your students' journeys, and I really admire that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think it's such an honor to be able to plug into their academic time here at Syracuse and be part of their academic journey. And I can't think of a better job in the world than getting to watch 18, 19, 20-year-olds figure out what they want to do in their life and then jump like 2 feet right into it. It's just so exciting.
Well, I'll tell you, it really, you've got one of the best seats in the world, and we'll touch on that later in today's conversation. Okay, so we'll go around the horn and get to know y'all a little bit better. We're going to find out kind of where you're from, as well as some extracurricular passions or hobbies that you may have when you're not doing big things in supply chain and getting ready for massive careers. And Odette, I want to start with you. Tell us a little bit about your hometown and one of your hobbies.
Absolutely. So my hometown is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So not too far from Syracuse, but a little bit more removed from our lake effect snow phenomenon. So it was fun getting to know that effect when I got up to school here. And I actually have a lot of interests outside of supply chain because I didn't really know what supply chain was until I took Julie's class my sophomore year. But for a very long time, I have been interested in sewing and fashion design. So I have been doing that for about 14 years now, which sounds like a long time when you're on a college podcast. And I'm very interested in kind of creating, tailoring, and making new suits and dresses and that aspect. And I'm also, I know you mentioned this for David, also involved with musical instruments. So I've been playing the viola since I was around 9 years old. And I do play in the Syracuse University Symphony Orchestra. So if you're not finding me around the business school, you can go up to the big red castle that is the face of Syracuse University, and I might be stuck in a practice room up there.
Oh, Odette, love it. All right, so Odette, the viola. All right, so I'm showing my lack of musical prowess here. That's related to the violin, is my hunch. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like the violin that's just a little bit bigger, and we never play the melody, but we're always supporting behind the scenes.
Okay. There's a supply chain orchestration pun or analogy there. We'll circle back to it. But Odette, great to have you here today. All right. So, Catherine, if you would, tell us where your hometown and some of your hobbies that you're involved with outside of supply chain, too.
Yeah. So, I am from Fairfield, Connecticut. So, not too far from New York City. Grew up going into the city a lot. Both my parents worked there. So, kind of second home for me. Outside of the classroom, I'm also pretty involved on campus. I'm president of our retail club, which has been an absolute joy to be a part of here. I'm also a part of the bass fishing team here, which again has just been a great outlet for me to kind of delve into some of my interests. I also really love rock music, which I don't think a lot of people would assume by looking at me, but I am huge into rock music. Saw Pantera by myself over the summer. So much fun. And I'm also very, very much so into fashion. So all sorts of fashion tech, high-end luxury, cultural fashion, all different scopes and realms of it. I love it. So, yeah.
So Catherine, I think that you were involved with New York Fashion Week, juggling amongst many things you do. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And was it more on the logistics and operations side of Fashion Week?
Yeah. So I worked Fashion Week this past February, and then also last year I worked that February as well. This year I was on a runway as like a production assistant versus last year I was in a B2B showroom. So it was a little bit of a different kind of vibe there, but it definitely was a lot of logistics, a lot of operations, organizational skills, trying to get everyone organized from point A to point B in a timely manner. Obviously, there's a million different moving parts in those kinds of settings. So having to be on my toes at all times is really important. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So
love it. And of course, the fashion and apparel world lean heavily on fast moving supply chains, highly proactive supply chains to stay on top of trends, have a very challenging industry. Hey, really quick, Julie, we're about to get to know Michaela and David in just a second, but I'm going to pause for a minute. We heard from Odette and Catherine some comments on both of these first two individuals.
I'm telling you, we have amazing students, and you know, these are just two of those as a sample. They're pretty fantastic young people, and they're going to make a big splash. But what you're hearing already, Odette triple majoring, Catherine having a solid footing in both retail and supply chain, that's one of the things that I think we do super well here at Whitman in the Syracuse University, is to allow our students to double or triple, or for the rare, super, super dedicated student, quadruple major. And so we often will talk about supply chain and, you know, Odette mentioned coming into her sophomore intro to supply chain class, not quite knowing what it even was. And then sort of, we call it the gateway drug here, getting pulled into the major. And a lot of students keep that other foot that they thought they were, you know, they came in thinking I was going to be retail, or I was going to be marketing, or I was going to be finance. And then they just kind of fall in love with supply chain. And so they end up partnering them. And I think we just create these incredibly well-rounded, interesting students who, when you start coupling all these combinations, are so uniquely positioned into what they love.
Yeah, I agree. And just for Big Brother or the FDA or some of the other agencies, we mean the gateway drug in a very positive,
in the nicest possible way.
No, that's right. Our phones are getting bugged. Who knows? Anyway, no, all kidding aside, it's so important. And, you know, some big common themes with these is how do we attract the best and the brightest like these four into supply chain programs? So clearly you are doing great work there. Michaela. Now, Michaela, I'm not going to reveal where you are in the world. You can if you would like, but because you're abroad right now, I'm very jealous. If you would tell us about your hometown, where you grew up, a little about yourself, and of course, one of your hobbies.
So I am currently in London. I actually just got back from what most people do in when you're abroad. I was just traveling. I just came back from Portugal and Brussels, so that was fun. So my hometown is Long Island, Suffolk County, New York, if anyone knows. And I moved to the suburbs of Philadelphia when I was in high school. So I do also consider that a hometown of some sorts, but I do heavily resonate with Long Island and Suffolk County. I am a beach girl, so. And then some of my hobbies do include traveling, if you can't tell. And then I also am very musically inclined, as my other two counterparts. I do play four instruments, and I also did dabble in songwriting in high school, but I never got to releasing an album, even though I wanted to. But yeah,
wow,
those are just some things that I wanted to do.
All right, we got a supply chain band. We'll be forming in the months ahead. Y'all will be the first calls that we make. And gosh, to hear about all the locales you're visiting, different countries, the perspective that must give you, especially being a supply chain nerd like I am, and I use that very lovingly, it's got to be really, really enriching and fulfilling, huh?
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a great perspective to get. So if anyone's listening that's thinking they want to travel, but they might not get around to it, you should definitely travel.
Do it now. Do it now. Okay. All right. So David Patterson, you're our fourth and final panelist here. Again, big thanks to Julie for bringing some of Syracuse's best and brightest. Tell us a little about your hometown, a little about yourself, and what's a big hobby of yours?
Absolutely. Well, I'm from Watkins Glen, New York. So it's a small little village of about 1,600 to 1,800 people. A very big tourist town during the summertime. It's right on the south end of Seneca Lake. So it's nestled in the heart of the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York. There's a international racetrack there. So that tends to draw a crowd for NASCAR during the August months. And I think it's actually in May this year. So quite early in the summer, there's a famous state park that has like a gorge trail that runs up through the hills, the wineries. So
yeah,
always grew up with, you know, a ton of people during one season and then it being very quiet during the winter months. And I just love it out there. It's so great to just go back home and see family and just relax and kind of break away from the world. It's nice and isolating. And coming to Syracuse, I tell my friends, which is funny enough, it always felt like the big city for me, even though Syracuse to them is like their little town and their little village. So people always love hearing that. And I always think that like earned a great perspective for me to kind of meet people from all over the world here. And I absolutely love it here. And part of the things I do up here at Syracuse, besides playing trombone and piano, usually in my room, is in the Goodman Leadership Academy here at Whitman, which is kind of like an accepted group of students that we work on like collaboration, and we have guest speakers over learning about personality development, how we can be a more efficient team leaders and, you know, kind of navigating throughout the world and using our majors to kind of apply to that. So it's really interesting. And I just recently through Whitman went to California and the Los Angeles to the San Francisco trip. It was kind of like a tech industry, tech heavy trip out there. And it was my first time out to the West Coast. And we met like a bunch of alumni out there. It was just absolutely fascinating. And it certainly gave me a little bit of a heightened perspective on supply chain, some of the industries out there. It was really fascinating.
Outstanding. And I only going back to halfway through your response there, you're talking about your musical instruments. I'm assuming you have some very strong diplomatic relations with your neighbors because you play trombone and piano in your room. You're managing those relationships well, right?
Yes. Okay. I am known as like the trombone guy sometimes, and I have like a certain schedule where I have to play it, so I'm not like disrupting anyone's okay. schedule.
Fair enough. I figured. But regardless, well, good stuff, David. And Julie, before we talk about the roles you play and your highly regarded research, comment on what we heard there from Michaela and David.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of fun how that's set up perfectly, which is Michaela talking about being abroad in London, and David just got back, the day before, from this multi-day trip to the West Coast. And I think, again, that's one of the things that we really encourage for our students, and it's so great to hear two of them talking about these opportunities to travel. We take students as much as we can to case competitions, these immersion trips, you know, wherever we can, we try to give them that experiential learning throughout their 4 years while they're here. And I think everyone here has done some amount of traveling and experiencing the world and getting hands-on experience. And I just love the perspective that brings into the classroom and that they can bring into their internships and their jobs.
It's invaluable. And on a lighter note, see, you come on supply chain now and you get bumped up a whole class. See how that can happen? We'll see. We'll get it all right. But Julie, I can't agree with you more. And gosh, talk about well-rounded, holistic experiences, that experiential learning is so important. We heard that all in little short responses from all four. All right. So really quick, Professor Niederhof, if you would tell us about the roles you play, formal roles you play, and of course, the research. Tell us where you focus a lot of your well-regarded research.
Sure. Yeah, so I wear a bunch of hats here. You already mentioned I'm an associate professor of supply chain management, and I'm currently serving as the department chair for our department, which is the marketing major, the retail major, and the supply chain major. So really thinking about products and services, conception to delivery. And I am the co-director of the Franklin Center for Supply Chain Management, which is a center that was founded back in 1919 when this major was founded by the Franklin Automotive Manufacturing Group, which was based here in Syracuse at the time and was really excited to support a transportation and traffic major. And the Franklin Center supports the Franklin Student Club and helps pay for and manage a lot of these activities that we were able to support our students in. I also co-organize the annual Salzburg Memorial Lecture Series, which awards the Salzburg Medallion, which goes to a supply chain management industry leader, either an individual or a company who's really leading the way in supply chain. And so through that, every fall, we get to put together a two-day series of speakers and guests, and we have chief operations officer of companies like Patagonia, Toyota, Coca-Cola, Schneider Electric. Those are just a few of the companies we've been able to honor in the last few years, bring them onto campus along with a bunch of other speakers and connect our students with these incredible C-suite executives that they get to talk to. So that is just some of the roles I'm juggling. at any given time. It is. It is a lot.
But hey, supply chain is not for the faint of heart. And it is clearly not. All of those hats you wear are providing opportunities for, you know, the Catherines, Odettes, Michaelas, and Davids of the world. And that's invaluable too. Now the research you do, on top of all that, tell us about the
on
research.
On top of all of that, yeah, on top of all of that, I am research active. And so I tend to focus my research on the behavioral side of supply chain. So how real human decision makers manage decision making in supply chain context. So that might be a pricing question, an inventory management question. You know, how does that person behave when they're in a high risk situation or in a fairness oriented dynamic? You know, does that change what happens? We've looked at how workers behave in a queuing system. If you have high visibility of the number of customers in your line versus low, does that affect the way the worker performs? But currently, I've been focusing a lot on that type of question, but in humanitarian aid logistics. So I've been really fascinated with how the prolonged exposure to traumatic events affects the way that humanitarian aid logisticians approach these very high risk, high stress allocation decisions, management decisions. You know, do we wait for more information or do we act today? How does that prolonged exposure to stress influence the way that they manage those decisions? And so that is where I've been spending a lot of my time for the last few years.
Outstanding. That's got so many universal applications, those kinds of some of the main themes of your research you shared. And gosh, decision making in general is probably all y'all can attest to. It's been a timeless challenge, and here in the golden age of supply chain tech, it's been really interesting to see how AI and many other innovative technologies are being used to either replace some of the decision making, so we don't have to make them, which I find fascinating, or some of the tougher decisions, how we're able to make those faster, easier, better, more confident. What's old is new again. But good stuff there, Julie, and between what you do and your research. All right, so circling back to the students here. Catherine, I'm going to lead with you in this next question because I know that I can perceive your passion, all four of y'all's passions, just in a little bit of time we've spent here today. But let's dial it in on one topic or trend or issue across global supply chain that really interests you right here today in March 2026. Catherine, what comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, coming from things from kind of a more of a retail perspective, when I first got to Syracuse, like Professor Niederhoff mentioned, I came in as just retail management. And then later on, after taking an intro supply chain course, realized how valuable those skills could be to me, and then tacked that on as well and have fallen absolutely in love with it. So it's been great. But I think that being said, coming at it from a little bit of a different perspective, I think sustainability is always the first thing that's going to come to mind. It's something that I've taken a lot of time to do research on in my spare time. And I did a project for a course a few weeks ago about the new introduction of the EU digital passport that they're attempting to launch, which would provide a QR code on clothing tags that consumers could then scan with their phone while they're in store. And it would give them a complete from the mill all the way to the warehouse, start to finish, transparent recollection of the supply chain for that product. So I think that's definitely an issue that's always been a longstanding issue. And I think it's very refreshing to see it kind of being paid a little bit more attention to. And I think it definitely could be something interesting to follow and hopefully potentially brought into the U.S. as well sooner rather than later. So
inform consumers. Powerful thing. Good stuff there, Catherine. Michaela, how about you?
Yeah, so one topic that has interested me across global supply chain currently is more so on the rail or transportation sector. During our Salzburg Memorial Day last semester, Odette actually did a fun little presentation with a couple other members from the Franklin Supply Chain Club about how rail can be improved in the Americas. And I thought that was, well, North America specifically, but I thought that was really interesting, as I also did attend a Northeast Association of Rail Shippers conference also last year with Syracuse, which was really informative. And I wound up getting an internship through that also. So I feel like rail is something that is sort of looked over when, as a student, when coming into supply chain, because people more focus on like procurement or sustainability. But I do think that rail is a big sector that should be expanded more upon, especially in the Americas.
Big opportunities, Michaela. And you're right. Air cargo and ocean freight probably, and certainly, you know, good old ground freight probably gets a lot more attention. But really quick, before I move on to Odette and David, Julie, I want to check in with you on that. We heard about Catherine's passion for sustainability and empowering customers with information where they can make better selection about products and probably vote with their wallet more, which a lot of times leads to some advancements for industry. And then with Michaela, you know, the rail industry is probably one of the most misunderstood or just not understood industries. And of course, from a travel perspective, you look at the rail system in North America and the rail system in Europe, two totally different universes. But Julie, what do we hear there?
Yeah, I think both of these people being able to explore these passions and what they find most interesting. And, you know, I think in both cases, they're kind of moving in that same future forward direction, right? So you're hearing Catherine talk about the role of transparency. And once retailers have that transparency, they're going to, as you said, vote with their wallet, which companies are then going to follow the voters, follow those customers' sort of preferences, right? So that's going to cause supply chains to shift. And so understanding kind of the long-term impact of that kind of visibility. Michaela brought up the rail industry, which, as you said, is highly slept on, highly underrated by the majority of Americans. They really don't understand the vast amount of shipping that's happening on our rail systems. And the opportunities that we maybe are not taking advantage of as fully as we should in developing new rail technologies. And again, the implications for future supply chains, both for transporting goods and transporting people, reducing emissions, reducing costs. I see both of these students touching on current topics that have so much profound possibility on impacting future supply chains.
Yes, of course, you got the historic potential merger in the rail industry here in the U.S. We'll see if that gets approval and moves forward. Good stuff, Catherine and Michaela. David, let's go to you next. Odette, you're going to be a cleanup hitter on this first question. David, your thoughts around a passion, a trend or topic or issue that you're passionate about across global supply chain.
Right. Yes, I've been thinking about this for a while. And recently, I just did a essay about globalization for my Maxwell class. And it's really kind of honing in on coming up with like what your thoughts are about the current state of globalization. And so what I think is happening right now and what I think is very objective and true in the landscape right now, when it has to do with supply chain networks, is that especially the United States and the global North countries tend to be kind of pulling back away from this hyper-efficient supply chain network in the global landscape. You see this with like the tariffs and the CHIPS Act, the Inflation Reduction Act from previous administrations and current administrations. And that just really fascinates me on how like other countries react to that, the relations that go on. And it makes me kind of wish I majored in international relations at Maxwell as well. So I kind of wish I did that. But it was really cool to kind of relate that to supply chain as well. And I think that relating to Micron coming to Syracuse too has a lot to do with that. And seeing how that we're trying to become more reliant on, you know, domestic industries with these really important industries such as pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, defense systems, and like agriculture and stuff like that. So that kind of stuff really is very, very broad and very hard to tackle at times. And, you know, there's trade-offs and there's some consequences that come with that and the whole theory of economics with that. But I think it's fascinating. I really like following the current state of what's going on with that and how it's impacting, you know, communities like Syracuse.
David, that's you're speaking about a really long equation with tons of variables, right?
Exactly.
Globalization alone, it's interesting to see the old trends and new trends, and oftentimes things come back kind of cyclical. But Julie, I propose to you, I'm waiting for either the Tylenols or the Aleves or whatever pain reliever like aspirin, if they embrace a tariff promotional campaign, they will dominate the market in supply chain practitioners landscape. They really will. I'll tell you, we got halfway through the conversation and then the T word came out. It's been a challenging situation, but David, good stuff. Odette, same question. What's one thing you're really passionate about and you're tracking across global supply chain?
Yeah. Well, like David mentioned, he's also a student at the Maxwell School of Citizenship. So my third major is environment and sustainability policy. And that is a very unique major here at SDU because it actually doesn't exist as a standalone major. You can only declare it when you have a base major. And one of those acceptable ones is supply chain. And so it has a very kind of customizable path that you can proceed through. And so I've been able to take a variety of classes in Maxwell focused on environment and sustainability with a very heavy business focus. And so through the past few years, I've spent some time learning the actual science pertaining to climate change and the impacts that the supply chain field is having on that change, and also some of the business implications for this and how we can react and respond to it. So recently, I've been particularly interested in how we're monitoring all of the kind of passage through the supply chain with scope 3 emissions particularly. And so the scope 3 emissions is basically tracking how much is your supplier emitting and your supplier's supplier and your supplier's supplier supplier all the way down until you get to the raw materials. And so that's really been kind of a topic more up on the news. It's becoming more necessary in the EU already to keep track of your scope 1, scope 2, and eventually scope 3 supply chain emissions. But I believe California has also announced that as of 2027, that will be impacting a lot of public and private businesses operating there as well. So really finding ways to balance the complexity of a global supply chain with some of these reporting standards that we need to uphold in order to be able to achieve a green economy.
Julie, I tell you, between economic forces that David mentioned and then Odette, of course, when you think of scope 3, you think of a whole new complexity when it comes to seeking end-to-end visibility, a whole new twist on visibility across ecosystems. Your thoughts, Julie, what we hear there from David and Odette?
You know, if you were to ask me what my favorite topic is, it kind of goes into this area as well, which is this, you know, the sort of resiliency and flexibility of supply chains. And so all of them have kind of talked about this, like, how is this new change? How is this new opportunity going to affect what makes the most sense for a company to do in their supply chains? And that forward thinking, that forward looking perspective in whichever set of lenses they're bringing to that question is so fascinating and so interesting for them to bring. And, you know, I think kind of off of David and Odette's comments here, we do know that when you incentivize just one player in the supply chain to do something like reduce emissions, they can game that system by making their supplier's supplier take a credit for those emissions, right? And so understanding that, like, if you have bad emissions and then you just change whose name goes to those emissions, that doesn't actually improve the world. And so understanding, you know, kind of that big behavioral factor of, you know, where those incentives are being placed, where those expectations are being placed, how that transparency is made available to customers and then customers can respond to it, super important. And to David's point, you know, the only thing for certain in this life is change, right? Everything is always changing. And everybody likes to point to COVID or point to these new tariffs or point to, you know, some new current crisis, but the reality is everything's always changing. And so companies are constantly having to think about where is that sweet spot between being super flexible and being able to adapt quickly and not wasting all their money on tons of redundancy and tons of unnecessary flexibility. And so I think, you know, they're really hitting on some of these really key issues about how do you structure that supply chain to accomplish what you need to accomplish, not just now, but into the future. Being ready to take advantage of new opportunities, being ready to shift when the time is right, but doing so in a way that is respectful to your shareholders and respectful to your values. So really, really interesting stuff to hear them talk about.
Outstanding. And Julie, there's one more certainty in life, though, related to emissions. I think the dominant emitter of all the hot air and wasteful emissions in the world is Washington, D.C. I saw a research piece the other day. I did. I promise. Michaela, I will circle back. A lot of good stuff there. I really appreciate all y'all sharing some of the things you're most passionate about. This follow-up question is going to be related to that, right? So, Michaela, when you think about what you want to do in industry and why, including some of the change you'd like to be a part of driving and impacting, what comes to mind, Michaela?
So I know I did mention rail, but something that I am currently getting into is also has is related to sustainability. But one sector that I'd like to go into is the mining and minerals aspect of supply chain. And I know that those are two contradictory like terms, because you don't really think of mining as a sustainable sector. However, that's why it really interests me to go into sustainability for minerals and mining, because I want to be able to make a change different than everyone else, basically. So I kind of want to leave my mark on the field. But minerals and mining is needed in general for renewable energy, because we do use the minerals and what we mine to create new technologies. But the main issue is more so just the ethicalness and just the ability to improve the traceability and to reduce the environmental impact of said mining. So I feel that that's one thing that I would like to do, and why. And I feel like that would be a major improvement in the industry.
Michaela, good stuff there. And you're right on a lot of accounts. And on top of all those balances that the global industry and supply chains will have to find a path, is you've got, mining is spread out, and we all like our smartphones. However, we don't have as many active mines here in the States to get some of the critical components that go into things like the iPhones, other things we enjoy, electronics, and many other things. We've got our work cut out for us to protect and grow access to make consumers happy. So mining and minerals and the whole space is going to be a fascinating aspect of global supply chain in the months to come. So good to hear that, Michaela. David. Same thing. What do you want to do in the industry? Why? And some of the change you're looking to drive?
Yeah. So to relate it to kind of what I was touching on globalization, how like industries are really trying to find their most cost-effective and efficient supply chain networks while also trying to deal with kind of these economic factors. What really initially opened me up to that was working with my dad in a hospital. He works in a facilities department. He's the director of it. And he's constantly ordering stuff for his facilities team to make repairs in the hospital. And the big mother company that he goes through is Grainger. And I was just so impressed with Grainger and how quickly that they would get their stuff to the hospital, like instantaneously from these massive warehouses. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, how do you even like begin to think about that? And how do you even get these shipments there? You know, they're still producing all the way overseas in China, and then getting all their stuff shipped over. And there's already stuff sitting in like, in these warehouses, they have their inventory watching and all these logistics and forecasting, and just thinking about that and being exposed to it before even coming to school, I think I already had my supply chain mindset set when I was doing my first introduction class with Professor Niederhoff in 256. And so, yeah, it was, that was definitely eye-opening. And I think that's an industry that I really want to get at, is kind of like the distribution and kind of the global landscape manufacturing from like overseas, and how we get our products across the country.
And you mentioned the healthcare supply chain. It's a matter of life and death, the utmost stakes. Julie, I'll check in really quick with you. Michaela, I was trying to think of my, I was trying to make Miss Beckham, my 10th grade chemistry teacher, happy, and mention some of the periodic elements that are involved in some of the minerals in the mining space. But of course, kidding aside, mining, minerals, healthcare supply chain, David mentioned some of the global aspects of that. This is some heavy stuff, Julie. Your thoughts?
Fascinating topics from both of them. I'm always so impressed with what our students are doing outside of the conversations that I'm having with them and finding out, you know, what's driving their interest. You mentioned earlier like AI coming in and making new decisions and making decisions easier. But at the end of the day, you know, AI is not going to go out and mine things. There might be ways to apply it that will allow us to do things more efficiently and more environmentally friendly and all of these things. David's talking about getting hospital supplies in. We're not going to stop having people who need hospital help. And so these fundamental needs within the world of, you know, being able to get these rare earth metals and these minerals so that we can build the technology, being able to make sure that we're providing top healthcare and access to real, actual, like, non-negotiable needs is so important. And I love that they are thinking about, you know, ways that they can contribute to these incredibly important sides of the supply chain.
I'm with you, Julie. And it's so interconnected, like so much of global supply chain is. It's really amazing. All right. So Odette, same question. What do you want to do in industry and why?
Absolutely. I think a lot of my discovery of what I want to go and do after graduation is tied back to my sophomore year here at Syracuse, which is when I started getting involved a little bit more in the sustainability space at Maxwell, but also I took Julie's class and had my first supply chain class. And I distinctly remember she pulled me aside at the end of one class and said, I think you should consider majoring in supply chain. And I was like, well, that's not the plan. So thank you, but the plan has been made. And it was a little bit after that that I just kept thinking about it. And I realized I want to study everything. How can we make it happen? And so since that kind of point for the last 2 years I've been able to spend here at Whitman, I've really been motivated by how I can continue finding new problems, learning about the problems, and coming up with solutions. So my plans for next year are already relatively set. I'm going to be joining Deloitte Consulting as a technology enablement analyst. And so really joining that kind of continuous problem solving aspect of consulting, which was what drew me to the field. And I'm really excited to be kind of in the technology space, especially as we're in some of this AI transformation period, to be on the front end of learning about that. And I'm very interested in really getting my hand into green consulting and working with that, combining sustainability, technology, and the supply chain to create a greener future.
Oh, Odette, I love it. Love it. And congratulations.
Thank you.
And Julie, I'm impressed. I'm a planner. I think all of us may be planners. It sounds like Odette is a very serious planner, which I love. So, Catherine, you're the cleanup hitter in this question. What do you want to do in industry and why?
Yeah, so I think it probably makes the most sense to kind of rewind it a little bit for me. During COVID, my mom also works in facilities and she works in operations within high luxury fashion. So a little bit different of a perspective again, but I vividly remember being home from school and sitting on a couch right outside of where her office is in our house and eavesdropping on every single one of her conference calls as much as I could before she noticed I was there and then would give me the boot. But kind of like learning that language and learning that industry and hearing kind of what her role was. Always before, when I was in like elementary and middle school, people were like, what does your mom do for work? I'd be like, oh, she's a business lady, like whatever. But I think gaining a better understanding of what it is that she actually does and finding that same passion and love for that in the way that she had before has really been super pivotal to my experience thus far professionally. So as of right now, I held an internship last summer in buying, which I loved. I had a great time. But I think walking away from that buying internship, I really pinpointed that I love the vendor negotiations. I love the relationship building strategies and kind of wanted more of a way to implement my supply chain knowledge as well. So I'm hoping on moving into more of a procurement type role in my future. And I think, again, that being said, connecting back to our previous points on sustainability, being able to really foster that sustainability within procurement and especially within those higher luxury markets where sustainability is not the first thing that they're thinking about all the time. I think it's definitely, there's so many points to be made about it. And there's so much room for change, specifically within high luxury. And specifically, like, again, with mining, looking at jewelry companies as well. I think it's fascinating to me. And it's somewhere I'd love to put myself one day. So yeah,
I like it. And you know, there's plenty of room for change. That's a great comment you just made there in so many aspects of global business and global supply chain. And you also called out the something that Michaela touched on, the ethics of it all, right? And that will continue, hopefully, because it's growing in importance to consumers. Supply chains are going to have to address that more and more, thankfully, right? In so many different ways. And that's a great thing. Even it will create more work, but also more opportunity. And the right thing can happen more often. I'm going to ask the panel here about how cool it is and how beneficial to their careers that being a student at Syracuse University and being in the program there has helped. But Julie, your comments on what we heard there from Catherine and Odette.
Yeah. So, Catherine, I loved hearing about your prolonged take your kid to work day. essentially, COVID for a lot of kids was a take your kid to work experience, right? I think a lot of this generation got to see a little bit more behind the scenes than prior generations have ever seen of their parents working. And maybe that'll shift the way they approach their career decisions. But one of the things I often will ask students if they're debating their major or they're debating, you know, what kind of internship to seek, because they'll say, you know, what kind of problems do you enjoy solving? When you get a list of problems in a supply chain class, which are the ones that like really capture your interest or you feel like excited about solving? And so I just love hearing, you know, from Michaela and David and Catherine that they have these sort of spaces that they really like, but also Odette's answer that she just loves solving problems, period. She likes to formulate the problem. She likes to attack a new problem and take it apart and make sense of it. And, you know, there's a space for that too, a really important space of that consulting space or that research space of, you know, being sort of flexible about what kinds of problems you're solving. So really fun to hear from all four of these students about what's driving their interests.
It is. That's one of my most favorite aspects of these conversations, and the answers we get are just fascinating. So thank you all. All right. So let's go around and David, I'm gonna start with you in this question here. When you think about Syracuse University's supply chain management program, what makes it successful? What makes it so sustainable in a sense of long enduring, right? Since 1919, did I get that right, Julie?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, 1919, long before it was cool as it is today. And how has it prepared you for a very successful career to come?
Absolutely. Well, yes, my time here at Whitman has only been 2 years, so I'm still like exploring and definitely set on supply chain. It's definitely one of my passions. I love the faculty and the staff here and just the overall adaptability for Whitman, I think, is incredibly important and immense. Currently, we're going through the Transformation 2030 project through Whitman is to aim to be a overall top 25 undergraduate business school in the country by the year 2030. And I think a lot of what the supply chain program is doing here at Whitman is really going to drive that forward. The Salzburg Memorial Award ceremony and that kind of two-day speaker event blew me away last semester. I mean, it was so cool seeing these people come in from MIT, and they were just so absolutely knowledgeable about their topics with their research, and seeing the awards presented, it was just like very cool to be a part of. And I felt like very almost patriotic for Syracuse. I'm like, wow, this is like so cool that we're doing stuff like this. And it's really kind of that initiative that we're really taking forward and that leap that we're trying to differentiate and really trying to stand out as a top business school in the country. And I also really like how the supply chain program is kind of small and niche in the overall population of Whitman. It's not like your typical finance person, you know, which is a very popular major. And obviously they're going to go on and do very successful things, but the supply chain is just very niche. You don't really hear about it a lot. I have like a lot of friends, and we just kind of stick together and we really have that drive to make an impact in the industry. And you know, hearing what everyone likes about here in supply chain, that it is very uniquely different and it can really apply to a lot of your passions, what you want to do in the world. So that's what I really love about Whitman in the supply chain program, especially. And I do think it's really going to help me in the next couple of years find one of the passionate jobs and industries that I want to be a part of, possibly, you know, a manufacturing, a global supply chain position throughout that represents, you know, Syracuse or the higher up in a company. Yes, I think I can get there through Syracuse. It's been an amazing experience.
I know you can. And you've mentioned the Whitman School of Management a couple of times. And folks, I'm going to leave here with a hankering for chocolate or poetry, because that's what I think of when I think of Whitman. But now I'm adding a third, management, and one of the leading, oldest, and most successful supply chain programs, business programs. Good stuff there, David. Now we're going to move from a newer individual to supply chain management at Syracuse to Odette, who is essentially a graduating senior, maybe having the most experience in the program here amongst our panel. Odette, talk to us about the value that this program offers you.
Absolutely. I think really being able to speak to this, having been in the program for 3 years now, I hear a lot when people first come to Whitman, we have a really big painted orange wall. And it's kind of abrupt when you see it. And so I've heard a lot of people come in and some of the parents, oh my gosh, it's so orange, say the orange grows on you. But I think really the orange grows with you. And so I've had that kind of opportunity entering the supply chain space and really coming to that realization of I want to study everything. And I told this to my advisors and I told it to Julie and really everyone that I approached and said, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm interested in everything. I want to learn it all. They didn't say, well, go figure it out. They just said, then you will study everything and we'll make it work. And so Whitman really has a very unique way of supporting these multiple interests with double majors. And through this experience, I've gotten to be involved as the president of the Franklin Supply Chain Club here, which has also really exposed me to all of the hard work that Julie and the other staff is putting in to coming up with these incredible opportunities for us to learn outside of the classroom with some like case competitions and the guest speakers and kind of all of the interactive ways. I know Michaela mentioned she went to the NEARS conference as well. There's just kind of so many out of classroom experiences that take that textbook learning that we have in some of our classes and bring them into practical application that just takes it to a whole new level.
I can hear it. And clearly it's evident in all these conversations. And Odette, I can't wait once you're in, all of you are in industry for a few years. We'll have another one of these interviews so you can reflect back on just how right Professor Nidia Hoff was about everything, right? That realization's coming. And also you reminded me your perspective there at one point. I know the Oscars were just a day or two ago. I think there was a movie that captured one of the themes that you were talking about. Was it Everything, Everywhere, All at Once? Wasn't that the Oscar winner a year or two ago? Who would have thought that was a supply chain management movie? But it was. All right, so let's see here. We did David and Odette. Let's go Catherine and then Michaela, and then Julie, we'll get you a comment, and then we're going to talk about one of your favorite aspects for engaging. I can only imagine how much you got to prepare to engage bright folks like this. Catherine, your favorite part or your observations around the value Syracuse University poses from a supply chain management program standpoint.
Yeah, so I actually was a transfer student into SU. So my freshman year, I played NCAA Division III field hockey, and I was a goalkeeper. So very, very different lifestyle. But kind of being able to, quote unquote, redo my entire college admissions process, I had a lot more criteria and a lot more on my checklist of things that I wanted in a school. And I think coming to Syracuse has only exceeded all of those prior things that I had thought of. They've really, like my other peers have mentioned, our faculty really wants you to succeed and they want to see you thrive at all times. I think that was like my number one thing getting me through my first few weeks here, because obviously transferring in as a sophomore, don't know many people. So when I was still learning how to make friends in the classes, I then had my professors and other faculty to fall back on to give me the support to make it feel like home there as well. But I think overall, that being said too, I think a lot of the skills that they teach us are very, very transferable. And I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity for real world application. We also do a lot of different group work and collaborative kind of work within our classes, which I think is really important. And I think touching on that point again of like the real world application of what we're learning, as we talk about AI and how much of a pressing topic it's been within our world today, I think the focus on soft skills has been more than ever, because obviously AI models are being pumped out left and right every single week that are able to replicate these hard skills. So I think Whitman and our supply chain program does a really, really fantastic job at fostering those soft skills and those team environments and things like that, that are really going to be the thing that's going to propel difference moving forward in our professional careers.
And those soft skills are so critical, so critical. That's such a great call out. And earlier in your response, the support as folks or students coming in with all different varying levels of friends or a support network. And that's a great call out on the front end of your response. All right. So Michaela, you're to clean up here on this question. When you think of your experience at Syracuse University, and especially as a supply chain major, the impact, what makes it so successful?
Well, when I was doing my college admissions process, I also had a bit of a tough time trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do, because I wanted to either go into cardiology, geology, finance, and supply chain wasn't really on my mind. I didn't really have an inkling about even what it was. And then, like Odette, when I did my first supply chain class at Whitman, it really just opened my eyes. And it was kind of a battle with my family, as I do come from a Nigerian family. So you can really only be a doctor, an engineer, or a lawyer, and that's it. But I fought my way through, and Syracuse really helped them, like my family, see that supply chain is a really amazing career to go into, where you could really just show how invaluable you are to your team. So Syracuse as a whole, I do also think that the faculty and the professors and the advisors are genuinely the most amazing team you could possibly have, Julie included. She did take us to the WISE convention, as you mentioned earlier, in Arkansas this past fall. And it was honestly a really amazing experience, where we were able to meet multiple different professionals in various different fields, and also you. And it was really an amazing time. And we also get, again, a multitude of opportunities to just go and explore and meet a bunch of different alumni in a multitude of different fields. So I feel as if Syracuse, if I didn't come here, I wouldn't be on the track I am today. And all I can say is that I'm really grateful that Syracuse has given me the opportunities that it has, because I don't think I would have reached this level of success without this school.
Wow. Okay. Michaela, thank you so much. Now, Julie, before I ask you about, and actually that it might fit in well, I'll just ask you your favorite aspects. But first, hearing those four, Catherine and Odette and David and Michaela, talk about what you and your faculty team of colleagues are doing and doing on behalf of industry, that has got to be like music to your ears, Julie.
It really is. It's so gratifying to hear. You know, we all take our jobs really, really passionately and seriously. You know, we are all very dedicated to the art of teaching, engaging with students, connecting them with our amazing alumni network and our industry partners. And so it's really nice to hear that it's landing. The students are seeing it and recognizing it and taking advantage of it, honestly, because that's, you know, the big thing is you can set up all the success in the world and then the students have to engage with it. So I would say what I heard from all of them is the amount of support that they feel from the faculty, from the Career Center, from the Experiential Learning Office, from the Study Abroad program. And I would just echo that one of the best things we have here at Syracuse is deep support. We have support across our departments. We have a dean who, interim dean of the Whitman School of Management, Alex McKelvey. He really supports the supply chain department. Our new chancellor, who was just announced last week, I know he's interested and supportive of the supply chain department as well. You know, I think it's widely recognized that this is an important part of the future of industry and of business and of sustainability, and raising that profile for our students and raising the caliber of our students is something that we're just always trying to achieve. And so I think we already have some pretty high caliber students. They're pretty impressive, but we're always looking for ways to make them better. So we got connected into WISE this year, and we took a team of students to the WISE conference in the fall. As Michaela mentioned, she was one of our attendees. We had two students just get back this weekend from the WISE Ulta collaboration. They were in Chicago touring the Ulta Beauty facilities.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it looked amazing. I didn't get to go. But I heard from our Career Center person who went with them, and she was glowing about what a wonderful event it was. Odette has done case competitions. Catherine and David have done a case competition recently as well. And Michaela, I know, will know the answer to this, which is every time we do anything, we all say, thank you, Franklin. Because the Franklin Supply Chain Center, the Franklin Center for Supply Chain Management, we're very, very blessed to have. It is supported by our alumni network, and it provides us with really important financial resources that allow us to send students to the NEARS conference that Michaela went to and that we're sending six students to next month. We send, Odette went to Denver and Minnesota for case competitions. We sent, you know, students all over the world, and we help support that expense so that every student has that opportunity, regardless of what their financial profile might look like at home. And I'm just super grateful for that support that we have from our alumni, from our dean, from our chancellor, and here within the faculty.
I'll tell you what, can I still, is it too late for me to register into the supply chain management program at Syracuse? That is, I love it. And it does take a village. It takes resources, especially to provide just one element of your answer, true experiences that can't be almost impossible to be replicated via textbook or lecture or whatever else. This is terrific. Terrific. Michaela and Odette and Catherine and David, and of course, Julie, it's been a pleasure to just spend a little part and better understand a little part of your overall journey. I want to go around the entire panel and make sure folks know how to connect with y'all. Maybe they want to compare and contrast your program and others, or maybe have you come in and keynote an event or something, or who knows, maybe even hire you. I bet y'all have a lot of folks competing for you, all four of y'all being on their team. That's a great thing. It's a great place to be. So, Odette, let's start with you. Odette Shirk, how can folks connect with you, Odette?
The best way to reach me is through LinkedIn. So it'll come up under Odette Shirk when you search the name. Fortunately, not many people are named Odette, so I'm pretty easy to find on LinkedIn.
Well, I love that. And congrats again. Deloitte is getting a wonderful addition to the team, so congrats. We'll have to reconnect soon. Catherine Foley, how can folks connect with you?
Also, best form would probably be my LinkedIn. Unfortunately, not like Odette, there are quite a few Catherine Foleys in this world, but I should come up close to the top. It has like a gray background, and then my banner is Whitman. So,
okay. So, Catherine Foley, we're going to take that advice to heart. And let's see, you did Pantera last. What's your next concert?
I don't know. I've been dragged into the house music, electronic music scene as well. So I'm going to a festival in Brooklyn in May with a few of my friends. I've had bad luck, though. I tried to see Alice in Chains last year, and they canceled 20 minutes before. So it was a bummer. But yeah, I know. I'm hoping to get some more on my radar once school ends and I have some more free time, hopefully. So.
Outstanding. Well, good luck. We'll have to check back in with you. Michaela, your world travels that you're on, I want to ask you, after you get back and you reflect back on your journeys, where are you going next?
To Idaho for my internship.
Okay. All right. A little closer to home. So we'll see. You'll compare and contrast Idaho and Europe. We'll see how that goes. But Michaela, how can folks track you down?
They can find me through my LinkedIn. Like Odette, I'm pretty easy to find if you can spell my last name correctly. We're the only family in the world that has my last name. So,
man, yeah. that is such a unique, really cool thing, Michaela. And it's been terrific learning from you as well here today. Safe travels as you head from Europe to New York and then to Idaho. David Patterson, first off, how can folks connect with you?
Absolutely. Well, I am pretty disconnected from social media, so I don't have Instagram or anything like that. But I do have LinkedIn, which is always important. And my name is incredibly reoccurrent. So I have a specific hyperlink, which is pretty easy to go by. So it's just linkedin.com/in/David-Patterson13 and then one more slash.
Okay. So, always simple. Get the extra slash in, David. Is that right?
Exactly. More the merrier.
And any trombone playing in any trombone concerts tonight in the dormitory?
Yes, Orange Hall will have a concert in my dorm room, and I'm sure half of the hall will hear it and probably be banging on my door.
David, hey, all kidding aside, I'm so jealous. All y'all that can play musical instruments, I'm very jealous. So keep doing it while you can, for sure.
Appreciate
it. Great to have you here on the Now Generation here on Supply Chain Now. And then finally, Dr. Julie Niederhoff, I really, again, admire what you're doing. To hear Odette and Catherine and David and Michaela talk about and represent not just Syracuse, but represent global supply chain, really, because they're already ambassadors. That has just got to be, and there's a reason why you're smiling. I mean, I'd be extremely proud too, huh?
Yeah, it's just such a joy to be around them. And, this is why I love my job, because I get to walk into classrooms with 40 students, and if you're lucky, you've got these four. You've got students like this, and it's just magical.
It is. And how can folks track you down? Maybe they're going to try to better understand how they can replicate, or maybe they want to track you down for research, speaking, you name it. How can they do that?
So I'm also on LinkedIn, and like Michaela, have a pretty unusual last name. So if you can spell it, it's J-U-L-I-E and then N-I-E, just like Julie, which everyone can spell Julie, Niederhof. And I should be like the only one who pops up, obviously, going to have Syracuse and Whitman all over it. You can also always go to the whitman.syr.edu website and dig around on the faculty directory. And that has my email and other contact information for my professional office contacts.
Outstanding. Well, Julie, again, really appreciate you, Odette, Catherine, Michaela, and David all being here today. Really enjoyed your story. Wish we had a couple more hours for sure, but we'll have to have you come back and give us updates. But safe travels to each of y'all and to our audience out there, either listening or viewing. First off, thanks for being here. You're why we do it all. We appreciate all your feedback. The feedback is a blessing. Keep it coming. Great input and support. And also, big thanks to Dr. Stephanie Thomas and Wise, as Julie and Michaela and others mentioned here today. Appreciate the great connecting, empowering organization they are. You can folks learn more at the link in the show notes. But folks, you got homework. Man, this Power Pack panel brought it here today between Michaela, David, Catherine, Odette, and Julie. You got to take one thing they shared here today and do something with it, right? Deeds, not words. And with all that said, on behalf of the whole team here at Supply Chain Now, Scott Luton wishing you all the best. Do good. Give forward. Be the change that's needed. We'll see you next time right back here on Supply Chain Now. Thanks, everybody.
Join the Supply Chain Now community for more supply chain perspectives, news, and innovation. Check out supplychainnow.com, subscribe to Supply Chain Now on YouTube, and follow and listen to Supply Chain Now wherever you get your podcasts.